Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Father, for your presence. It's your presence that changes us, God. Change us from glory to glory. Help us not to be comfortable where we're at, that we may press on. As Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, and we press on, press on, press on. Thank you for this word, Lord, that you have laid on my heart to minister to your people today. In Jesus' name. Today we're going to be looking at a situation that came before Jesus, how he dealt with it, and the persistent faith of the woman who took Jesus at his word. And that's what he wants us to do in our lives, is simply take him at his word. Don't try to add anything to it. Don't try to take anything from it, but simply receive his word as he says it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I wrote in the article this morning, we go through the New Testament especially. The Bible is filled with impossible, hopeless cases, situations, and circumstances in people's lives. And as we read them, we think it's impossible, you know. But Jesus steps in every single time in these circumstances and does only what he does. And that's bring healing and hope to those who are desperate and are in need of it. So for this woman, it was her now or never moment. And the story of this woman is found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. And it's the faith of a Canaanite woman. Leaving the place, verse 1 tells us, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus didn't answer her a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost house, to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. So we read about a woman that was desperate, in need of a miracle for her daughter who was demon-possessed. And when you go and read this situation and this story in Mark chapter 7, it tells us this woman had heard of him. She had heard Jesus, I'm sure, doing miracles and signs and wonders and delivering demon-possessed people and open blinded eyes. So she had heard of him, and she heard that he was in the vicinity where she was at. So to her, it was a now or never moment. I've got to approach him. And as we will see, she was not supposed to be approaching him because she was a Canaanite. And so this woman came to Jesus because her faith and hope had been sparked in her heart that she had heard he was in the area. Finally, someone had arrived to bring her help. A right now kind of help. A now or never moment. Everybody ever been there? Anybody in the house ever been at that place where it was a right now or never moment? This woman was following after Jesus, the word tells us, and Jesus and his disciples, and she was shouting, she was crying, she was desperate. She needed help. And for a while, Jesus ignored her, and his disciples asked her to leave. But that did not stop her pursuit of Jesus, because she knew he was the one that had the answer. She needed something that society had not been able to provide for her. She was looking for something that her dead religion had been powerless to give her. She needed a solution that she had not been able to provide by her own self-efforts. Sounds like a lot of people that we know today. She, as how many of you can identify with this situation? Perhaps you're dealing with a child that's out of control. Perhaps you're dealing with a family member that's on drugs. Perhaps you're at your wit's end over some situation in your personal life that seems to have no end. And it seems that you have exhausted every means at your disposal to do what you know to do. And it's amazing that when we come to the end of that, it's when we really begin to turn toward Jesus' face to find the answer. But whatever the need in your life may be today, we can take a lesson from this woman and apply it to our own life, that persistent prayer in faith pays off in the end. Amen? So we got to get it to Jesus. We got to get it to Jesus. And I'm sure you have seen, and I have too, we've seen people depleting all of their resources on trying to find help. And in all different ways. And at the end, Jesus is the only one that can sustain people in the long run. Because you can go through all kinds of programs and all kinds of self-help stuff. And some of that's good, but if it doesn't have Jesus in the center of it, all it's going to be is a self-help program or a 10-step program or whatever. So you have to give it to him first and then rest in the fact that he will do for you what you are needing to do and what you're asking him to do. He can move mountains, meet your need, whatever it may be. But first of all, we have to get it to him. Don't go to Facebook first. Don't go to social media first. Don't pick up your cell phone first. Take it to him. Do the 911 that we just read about. Take it to him first. Amen? Because you never know when you take it to social media what's going to happen with it from there. So verse 23 and 27 says, to see that her need was met and her daughter was healed, we have to look at the obstacles that came her way. And I found that the greatest miracle happens when there's a lot of hindrances in our way and we have to press through the crowd to get to Jesus. Because if there wasn't no hindrance there, there must not be no miracle on the other side. So the devil's trying to keep you from here to there to your miracle. And it seemed that she met every resistance at her request at every turn. But she didn't give up because it was a now or never moment for her. And the first thing that she had to overcome, we're going to look at three of them real quick. She had to overcome race. Because the verse 21 tells us this woman was from a place called Tyrian City, and she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Hebrew woman. She was a descendant from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been told or commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites. They were enemies. She was a member of what was a doomed race. She was from a region known for vile religious practices. So to start off, this woman already had two strikes against her. And the second thing she had to overcome was her religion, which is the biggest hindrance to our faith sometimes, especially if you've been raised in a denominational church that doesn't teach you about grace and about the love of God. So she had to overcome her religion. She came to Jesus and called out to him, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. So here she was, a Gentile mother, crying out to a Jewish Messiah. She was desperate, a now or never moment. She had no right to come to him through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile, and he gave her the response that she deserved because of the way that she came to him. So number three, she had to overcome racism. The disciples seen her and heard this. Gentile calling out to their Messiah. They reacted by telling Jesus, you need to send her away. You know, she's not part of us. You need to send her away. And God help us if we ever have anybody that comes to us and we send them away because they may not look like us. They may not act like us. They may not perform the way that we think they ought to when they're in desperate need of help. So she had to overcome racism. They wanted nothing to do with her and the Jesus that they were following. She was not one of their people. In their eyes, she was different. And for them, that was enough to justify them not caring about her at all because she was different. Different sometimes is good. I like difference when it comes to when things come in and shake up the norm of religion. It gets us to thinking in a different way and in a different level and a different scope. Amen. So the fourth thing she had to do, she had to overcome rejection. So as Jesus speaks to her, to this woman, his words were harsh. His words were harsh to her ears. He finally stopped and told her he was there to minister to the Jews, not the Gentiles. So as Jesus said, I really don't care anything about your problem. You're not part, you know, of this. But he said, first I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right, he said, to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. So Jesus was stating that Israel had first rights to the Messiah. But before anyone else gets to it, think about it. Israel was God's chosen nation, we know. And the Messiah came through the Hebrew nation. But here was a Canaanite, persistent in faith, needing a right now miracle. So the woman understood, and with what I sense, a mighty faith said, that's true, Lord. So she says, I agree with what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I shouldn't be asking this of you. I understand where I'm from. I understand that I'm of a different race and a different religion. She said, that's true, Lord. Even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plate. So she said, if I could just get a crumb of what you're offering, if I could just get a crumb of what I see you offering to those that are of your tribe, it's going to be enough to bring me my miracle. So that's all I'm asking for, Lord. It's just a crumb. So she only wanted a crumb of the spiritual food Jesus was feeding Israel, just a leftover. This woman was desperate. How much is your persistent faith desperate today to go against everything anybody else says, anything may you have been taught that's not with the word, because you got to get to Jesus. So I think her answer wowed Jesus at that moment. I'm thinking he said, wow, this woman has great faith. She understands what I'm saying, that she's not supposed to be asking me anyway, but yet she understands what I'm saying. And that she expressed such a great amount of faith in him. Why couldn't the Jews be as hungry as this Canaanite woman? First, he simply ignores her. And you're thinking, Jesus. It's as if he turns a different ear to her cries for help, but only for a moment. He tells her that his whole purpose in coming to this world was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. But when she continually persists and presses into it, Jesus tells her that she's a dog and does not deserve the children's bread. And you're like, oh my goodness. The disciples rejected her, and now it appears as if Jesus is rejecting her too. And just because you sense that Jesus is, you remember last week when we talked about the active shooter, if you are down, Jesus had, sometimes the paramedics or whoever, the people that's coming to rescue you has to step over you to get to the active shooter, the one that's trying to take you out. So sometimes in life we may seem like Jesus is stepping over us, but I've got good news, he's coming back after you. You just need to be still. You just need to be still. So she had to overcome, the next thing she had to do, she had to overcome reality. The reality of this situation was that her daughter was possessed by a devil. That's reality. Ignoring reality is not going to bring your deliverance. Ignoring the reality of what things your children may be involved in is reality. In order to get delivered and help to somebody, you have to face sometimes harsh reality. I said, this is what it is, but this is what it says it can be. Amen? So she had to overcome reality. Her daughter was possessed by a devil. She was a member of a doomed race. These religion men that she looked at did not seem to care about her or her situation at all. Those were realities that she had to face. But it did not stop her from pursuing with persistent faith to get to the one that had her deliverance for her daughter. Amen. So it must have appeared at that moment for just a little while that her situation was hopeless. And so, you know, we could be looking at some of those barriers today. If you're listening to this message over the internet an hour later, you may be lost and don't know Jesus. You may feel like you have no right to come to him because of the things you've been involved in or maybe what people have said. You may feel like I have no right to come. I don't deserve to come to him. You may have experienced the rejection of church and religious people around you. But I've come with some good news today. You can come to Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, church. So John 6:37 says he's not going to turn anybody away. All whom my Father gives and trusts to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. So all he's saying to do is come to me. Run to him. I will never reject one of them who comes to me. So he says, all you've got to do is come to me. So others, you may be here praying and seeking God about matters that are troubling your own heart, troubling your own family or whatever. You've cried out to him and asked him to do this or that in your life, but yet there has seemed to be no answer. You may feel like giving up. And one thing I have found out, that in the times that God is silent, does not mean that there's not something going on behind the scenes. Because he's always working on your behalf to bring to you what you are praying and agreeing with him for. So God's silence is not an indication of his unwillingness to meet your need. God's silence in your life for a moment doesn't mean that he has forsaken you. Because in these silent times, that's when our faith is tested. Amen. That's when we can't give up. That's when we need to be the most persistent. And someone asked me, well, is it not faith when you pray for something again and again and again? That's great faith when you're praying for something over and over again. That's not doubt. That is called persistence. You either pray for it until it happens, keep praying for it until it happens, or till you just get such an assurance in your spirit that God says it's time to enter a phase of praise. Because some prayers, you keep praying, and some prayers, God says, okay, let's praise about this thing now, because it's about ready to happen. And that's what I sense right now for some of you all. You've prayed about something for so long. God says, listen, I'm telling you to come out of the prayer closet and put your praise shoes on. It's time to enter. The mode of praise now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up and give God a praise break real quick. Father, we thank you right now. There's some things that we have prayed about with persistent faith long enough. There's some things that we're not going to give up on praying with persistent faith. But at this moment, Lord, there's somebody there. Somebody needs to enter into the mode of praise now. And he said, come out of prayer into praise. For that which you have prayed for is about to happen. Do you not see? Do you not comprehend? Do you not believe that I can do what you're asking me to do? For all of my promises concerning you, your household, your grandchildren, those people that you're concerned about on your job, and even the ones that are walking along the street and you see them and you have that nudge in your heart. God says it's the Holy Spirit that is saying, pray for that one. Lift them up and then see what I will do. Do even in their lives, says God. For I'm the God of great recovery. I'm the God of great restoration. I'm the God of living hope. And within that living hope, you're going to see even families coming together. You're going to see religious things that have held people in bondage break open. And they are going to be free to be who I have called them to be. And not of what others have declared for them to be, says God. For this is the season of great deliverance, says the voice of the deliverer. Yes, says God. Look for me in the small things. Look for me in the small things, for it's in the small things. It's in the small beginnings that I will start doing a bigger thing. I have not passed you over. I have not stepped over you, but I have been right there with you, says God. So begin to praise me for that thing that you have prayed for. For this is the season of great breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So let me encourage you today. If you feel like giving up, don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if in the silent times of God, our faith is tested the most. And it's time to remember that God operates on a different time schedule than we do, because God is time himself. But because we're a people that are in such a time frame of 24 hours a day, we want to put God into that mold. And he says to break free of that time and know that I'm God of all time. And I may not do it on your time schedule, but I will do it. Amen. So let your faith don't define your faith by what you receive from me, but by what it takes to you from getting to God. You understand what I just said? Let your faith not be defined by what you receive from me or from God, but what it takes to stop you from getting to God. Even though that God seen this woman had great faith, and sometimes we think our faith is weak and we think our faith is small, but you have just enough faith to continue on in persistent prayer to see what you've been praying about. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So there must be something big there, as I said before, the opposition for it not to be big. Amen? So do we say if I just had more faith, he would answer me quickly? Or why would I be in opposition like this if I have great faith? I encourage you again, you have all the faith you need. It's not in your faith, but it's in the God that you serve and you have put your faith in. If it depended all on your faith, then God wouldn't have to do nothing. We probably wouldn't even receive nothing. Amen? But he takes us where we are. So as Jesus speaks to this woman, he never slams the door of hope in her faith, in her face. In Mark's account of this encounter, he records Jesus as saying, "Let the children first be filled." The word first is just what this mother needed to hear. Because first is the foundational principle of everything. Because what is laid first, everything can be built thereon. So she's thinking if he is going to fill his children first, he's laid a foundation for me to be filled next. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we rejoice with those that rejoice. Because if God's laid a foundation for it to happen to them, then I'm next in line. Amen? So the word first was just what this mother needed to hear. Jesus did not say, you cannot have what you are looking for. He said, I have come to the children of Israel first. They must be filled first because that's who I've been called to. So she took this to mean that seconds were available. Well, I'm here to tell you to somebody today that God is the God of the first, God is the God of the second, God is the God of the third, and he's the God of it all. Amen? Amen. So she took that to mean that seconds were available, and she was in the right place at the right time to get what she needed. And so it seems at times that if Jesus is passing us by, but he's not forgotten. His timing is perfect, and he is always right on time. Verse 22 tells us she calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. She said, Jesus, son of David. She receives no help at that point. She has no right to approach him on that ground. Verse 24 and 25, she hears Jesus tell her that his mission here on earth is to the nation of Israel. So when she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as a Jewish Messiah. She now sees him as her hope. So when you are approaching Jesus, how are you seeing him? If you're seeing God as someone that's going to club you every time you blink wrong, then you're not going to approach him with the small things of your life that you may need. So how are you approaching him? She says, well, I'm not getting nothing out of him on the Jewish Messiah foundation. I'm going to approach him as my living hope. Amen. Yeah, he may have said he come to the Jewish people first, but here I am, God, I'm in need. Amen. So she now sees him as her only hope. She sees him as someone being worthy of worship. Verse 24, because as I said in Mark, it said she heard about him in her area, in her vicinity. So she knew that if she could just get to him, she would find her help. In verse 24, she bows down to him, humbles herself at his feet, gives him the worship he deserves, and appeals to him for the help she needs. Verse 26 and 27 says, now she hears Jesus compare her to a dog. The Jews look at all non-Jewish people as dogs. The word they referred to was usually mangy. It was unclean, filthy, and dirty. And Jesus used this word in Matthew 7. But when I begin to go back and see how he used this word in this particular passage of Scripture, it's different. He uses the word here, which means little puppies. It refers not to mangy, dirty dogs, but to a dog that is a pet in a house, to an animal that is looked on as part of the family. For those of you that love dogs, you know what I'm talking about. So I believe that she immediately catches what he is saying. Of what he was saying, she said, yes, it isn't right to take the food from the children's table and give it to the dogs. But even the dogs are often treated to a morsel from the table. All I'm asking for is the crumb of that morsel. Amen? So she wasn't asking for everything. She's just wanted the dog's portion. Jesus took this woman and her small faith and began to lead her along and helped her grow her faith. And that's what Jesus does to us. He's always there to help us along. Because our life as a Christian is going to continually be tried in faith. Amen? Yeah. And there's always going to be situations and circumstances that are going to try our faith and see where we stand in our faith with God. So when we encounter the hindrances of faith along our Christian walk and along the way, we see them turn out to be opportunities in disguise. But when we continue to seek the Lord in spite of every hindrance, I promise you we will eventually see him to do what we need him to do. So here we are approaching God. If we approach God, someone is unworthy. Or we approach God as a son and daughter that says, that God says, come and let us reason with this thing together. So how are you approaching God? Someone that is still unworthy, someone that maybe feels like a dog sometimes, or are you facing coming to God based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says he stands in intercession for us before the Father. So when you come to God, how are you approaching him with your persistent faith? How are you asking him in your persistent faith? Jesus is ignored. The disciples played the race car on her. Jesus compared her dog, but yet she persisted. And what she knew that she needed to get for her daughter. Most folks would have thrown up their hands in frustration. Yeah. At the very first time, he ignored me, and I'm out of here. But not her. I'm going back home. I've heard all you do all these miracles for others, but apparently it's not for me. Maybe that faith spark I felt in my heart wasn't really for me. I've heard you do it for everybody else, but maybe you're not going to do it for me. How many times do we give up just at the door of our prayer has been answered? But not this woman. This was a woman with desperation. She had a cause worth standing for. She had a cause worth fighting for. And that's the place that you have to get to, church. When you are praying for something, you have to say, I've got a cause worth fighting for, and I ain't going to take it no more. Yes. And that's where you have to get with your persistent faith. What is the cause that you are fighting for? If it's worth it, stay in persistent faith until you see the breakthrough. Amen. She persisted in spite of everything that was thrown in her pathway. She persisted because too much was at stake. Why do you think the enemy wants you to quit praying and quit believing? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Woo! Wow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Her daughter needed to be delivered from her bondage. Her family needed to be saved. She needed help, and she was determined to get it. A crumb might have been all she could get, but she knew that a crumb from the hand of Jesus would be more than enough. She wouldn't give up until she got what she needed, and that's what we have to do. We have to maintain a bulldog spirit that grabs a hold of the Word of God and says, I'm not letting go of what you have promised. Now, you may be in this room or listen to this message. You're looking at situations and problems that are every bit as hard and painful as that woman faced. You've prayed and sought God about your situations, and things seem to remain the same. I know the devil's flesh are whispering in your ear right now because he does me the same way. It's no use. God doesn't care. Go away. Don't bother with him with this anymore. It's never going to change. Folks discourage you, defeated, and you wonder if there is any use or help for you. I again have good news. The good news, there is hope. Amen. Because we serve a God of living hope. Amen. We serve a God whose hope is alive. It's not based on feeling, but it's based on faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. The definition of faith in the world is desperation to the point of it's not feeling. Amen. But it's based on the promises of the Word of God. Today might be the day when Jesus responds. You all can stand. We're about done. Today might be the day that Jesus responds. Today might be the day when you see the mountain move. Today might be the day when you come to him and call on him to be saved. Today might be the day when God speaks to your spirit and says, it's going to be all right. I've taken care of it. Now you need to move into that mode of praise. Today might be the day when his peace replaces your pain and you get the help you need. You got to get it to him first, as we said. Bring it to him in faith. You know, I may not know how big your problem is, but I know how big the God we serve is.
Amen.
Amen. So look. There's a Jairus in the Bible. He places his daughter in the hand of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Raises her from the dead. Look, there's a Lazarus. 4 days in the tomb. Mary and Martha took him in the hands of Jesus. And guess what? Lazarus lives. Look, there's a multitude that needs to be fed, but they have no food. Just a few loaves and fishes are placed in the hands of Jesus. And what happens? And suddenly, everyone had more than enough. I believe in suddenlies. Amen. Look, there are disciples in a boat, a storm in the middle of the lake, the dead of the night. They are afraid they're going to die. They place themselves in the hand of Jesus. And guess what happens? They arrive to shore safely. There's a leopard, and he is healed. There's a blind man, and he can see. There's a deaf man and he can hear. There's a crippled man and he can walk. There's a man possessed with a demon and he is freed. Look, there's Jesus in every one of those situations. And whatever you are praying to God for in persistent faith, look at Jesus. He's already in the situation working it out. Amen. If he can do these things and they're just small samples of what he can do, then I'm assured that he can do the same for you and what you're believing God for. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that we're not settling for anything less than what your word says, God. We've come to the table today, Lord, and we have pulled up the chair in the presence of our enemies, whatever it may be, sickness, death, discouragement, hopelessness, whatever it may be, God, we have pulled up and we have fed off of your word today. And we are saying that we're not giving up, that we're just getting started. We thank you that this is a season of great breakthrough, Father. We thank you that this is a season of great suddenlies, Lord. We thank you for your encouragement today, Holy Spirit, that you refill us today with such great encouragement, that we leave this place. And for those that have been spoken to, that it's time to enter into a mode of praise now. Hallelujah. That we have approached your throne of grace in time of need, that we may find mercy. Thank you for this time that we've had together around your word, fellowship with each other, fellowship with you, Holy Spirit, that we go out of this place today, and we make a difference in somebody else's life. We go out of this place saying today, I'm not giving up and I'm not giving in. I've heard the word today, Lord. I've heard the word today, Lord, that you told us to keep on keeping on. And we thank you for that. Lord, I speak your blessings over these people right now in the name of Jesus, that they are the head and not the tail, that they are blessed coming and they're blessed going, that everything they touch is blessed, that your blessings, your goodness is running to overtake them. That the glory of the Lord is going forth from them as we present this good news to everybody that we see. Everybody said amen and amen.